Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Tonight we will be in part 61 of my series on liberalism. Although, if you've been following the last few podcasts, I have been detouring a little bit from my liberalism series to give what I call Christian public service announcements concerning some movies that have been out recently that I felt a word of warning should be given. We've looked at The Shack, we've looked at Hacksaw Ridge last week, and tonight The Arrival, a UFO flick that my wife and I recently saw. Now, you know, even though I am taking a detour, as I say, there is within this movie, and I just let me say here, one of my specialties is UFOlogy, or, you know, UFOlogy, however you want to say it. And as a result, I check out, among other things, movies which have an alien or UFO theme. And though I'm taking a slight detour from my liberalism study, I have found that this movie, The Arrival, had a liberal agenda to go along with a pro-alien UFO type agenda. Big surprise there, right? Hollywood movies with a with liberal agenda. And I actually, March 21st on Facebook, I had made some comments, actually what I referred to as Randy's Relevant Review of a movie. I'm not a professional movie reviewer, by the way. I won't quit my day job. Of course, I only have a part-time day job, so maybe I should look into it. Excuse my humor, folks. But anyway, it says, well, this is my comments. Well, my wife and I just saw The Arrival, and here's Randy's Relevant Review. Basically, I told my wife, okay, this is what I took away from the movie. Number one, psychic powers are good. Number two, aliens are good. Number three, one world unity promoted by the aliens is good. Now, on the negative side, number four, Christians who believe aliens are demons are bad. Number five, there's only one news network that is bad, that everybody hates, and which I believe is no doubt a reference to Fox News. This is talking about TV news network, by the way. And then six, that conservative radio is bad, and I base that on a scene where there was an individual who had a video from his, you know, radio program, and he was an aggressive, militaristic type host, and basically it seemed pretty obvious that he was, that the movie was portraying or trying to put sort of a parody type portrayal of some conservative radio broadcaster. Now, why am I not surprised? Nothing really new to see here, folks, I say. Just the typical liberal Kool-Aid propaganda that you will always find in Hollywood, TV land, mainstream media, educational system, and even in sports broadcasting. And then I said, enjoy your daily dose of brainwashing. So you see, I never get too far away from the topic of liberalism. I've been studying theological liberalism all these many, many weeks. That's my rant concerning liberalism for the day, and let me just move on here. Now, I've always thought that these ideas, you know, that aliens are good, that psychic powers are good, that world unity promoted by aliens, you know, these kind of ideas I've always found particularly interesting, and in my studies of ufology, have found often those very views are promoted, not just in this movie, but in many different books and movies and et cetera, science fiction. And I had another Facebook conversation where someone had asked me my views on aliens, UFOs, et cetera. And I don't remember the exact question. I think they may have asked me what my explanation, you know, it's a general explanation of what UFOs are. Before I get to that, you know, I had some comments of prophetic nature. Not that I'm a prophet, of course, I'm not saying that. But in other words, the views of Bible prophecy, I think, fit nicely with some of the ideas that come out of the whole world of ufology. Anyway, you'll see what I mean. I think it's very possible, I said, that the delusion of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, that God will send in regards to the Antichrist may very well include the alien agenda. There are so many related UFO alien explanations for upcoming prophetic events. For example, the rapture equals mass alien abductions, the Great Tribulation, or what they would call in some UFO circles as the Great Change, or other terms that they might use. Many so-called channelers who claim to be channeling aliens, who of course are either demons or figments of the channeler's imagination or outright fraud, often claim, they claim that this coming event, the Great Tribulation, is not to be feared, but rather it is a good thing that must take place before the new age of peace and prosperity can be realized. It may be a prophesied event, but it is the judgment of God against a Christ-rejecting world and also to be used to bring Israel to their Messiah, but not really a good thing for those left after the rapture. In other words, my point is, the Great Tribulation is coming, and you don't want to be there for it, and it can never be seen as a good thing as it is sometimes considered by people in UFO circles. Although some would say it's also a bad thing, but they don't couch it in a biblical understanding or come to the same conclusions pertaining the Great Tribulation. Anyway, I'm trying to give some examples of theological redefinitions, more or less, that take place in all cults and in the occult. For instance, another one, the millennium. This equals really the new age, which will be brought about by a planetary transformation in our spiritual consciousness / evolution with the help of highly evolved aliens or other deceiving spirits. We will be individually transformed rather than being born again by faith in Christ through their spiritual tutelage. We too will reach a godlike status. Remember E.T., the movie years ago, and the little cute alien and his powers to raise dead things, etc.? That's kind of what I'm talking about, that we can all head, we're all heading in the direction that we can be little gods like that, little alien type supermen, super god type things. But anyway, Satan has many counterfeits, and I have a list, and I've commented on some of them. This, of course, particularly pertaining to events, prophetic events, how they're being misconstrued and translated, redefined, by the demons through the channelers, etc. I have one other one here, and this applies to many in the New Age and UFO and then cults and such. But this is one. New Agers speak a lot when they talk about being born again. They talk about a personal transformation of reaching enlightenment. Enlightened to the fact that you are one with God because God has always been in you, and you just needed to realize that fact, okay? And that'll come into play. Hopefully later I'll have time to pursue that a little further if I get through all the material that I'd like to. Now, in pertaining to the question about what did I believe that UFOs actually are, and I said really there's about four explanations. I could say five if I want to include time travel, but I don't. Don't believe in time travel. I'm sorry. But anyway, there's really only about four explanations in my opinion, since I don't believe that they are alien visitors in solid craft. Now, number one, natural phenomenon perceived to be alien craft. As Fox Mulder of the TV series X-Files used to say, I want to believe, or he had the little sign up that said, I want to believe. And in the same way, number two, I believe another possibility, another explanation is top secret exotic military aircraft. Again, Mulder's line applies to so many, especially those who don't want to believe in the God of the Bible. I want to believe. I want to believe it's anything. I want to believe that it could be something from outer space or what have you. Number three, top secret military technology. I think that's another possibility. For example, holographic projectors, Air Force flares that are used in aerial dogfights, and which were attempted to explain the Phoenix Lights sightings some years back over Phoenix, Arizona, etc. And then I say, they want us to believe, okay, in big capital letters. Number four, and of course, demonic incursions into our dimensions of reality or interdimensional beings, we might say, otherwise known as fallen angels or demons. And those demons really want us to believe. And I tend to believe that, of course, they have a big part in this. Whether the alien agenda is going to be the fulfillment of the great delusion or not, there are still many, many people being deceived into not following Christ and the Bible and going into ufology either way. I'm going to put it that way. I think because we live in such an age of technology, unlike ever in the history of the planet, and because of mankind's continuing wholesale rejection of biblical truth, which will culminate in the great falling away from the biblical faith or the great apostasy by professing believers and rejection of biblical truth by unbelievers, that we are seeing Satan's master plan of deception unfolding. Most hardcore ufologists believe in a New Age occult-type metaphysical worldview, and because of accounts of both contactees and abductees, which invariably redefine all biblical categories like God, Christ's purpose, pantheistic view that we are all God, etc., it is hard for me to believe that there is life on other planets. It seems more likely to me, in light of Satan's apparent use of UFO beliefs in the cultures of the world, that God would have mentioned, in his word, we have space brothers out there. I don't personally believe there are any other beings out there besides God, angels, and demons. And then going on in this conversation, I believe personally that it will go down this way in the prophetic scheme of things because I match what the Bible says about end times with the New Age counterfeit group's subtle redefinitions. Add to that what the Vatican and other counterfeit groups say, and I think it is compelling evidence. I realize it may not go down exactly that way, but it sure looks like the UFO phenomenon will be a big part of the enemy's plan, and in light of all these signs and wonders that he is doing with the phenomena, I think it is likely that God would have told us about other life forms. That's my two cents worth. I know some believe Genesis 1:14 seems to indicate that we are the crown of creation since he made the lights in the sky for our benefit, we earth dwellers. I think scripture is pretty clear on that, and so I believe it. Now, in going from there, I'd like to quote from Ken Ham. Ken Ham and Dr. Don Batten in a booklet that's published by the Creation Museum folks over near Cincinnati, Answers in Genesis is the name of the ministry. They had a little booklet called Is There Intelligent Life in Outer Space? And these are some of the comments that those men make. The purpose of the stars, the reason stars were made, are given to us in several places in the Bible. In Genesis 1:14, we read, And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. We see from this that stars are there for mankind on earth. Add to this the sequence of creation on the first day, the earth, and only on the fourth day, all of the stars. And it is easy to see the thrust of the biblical testimony that the purpose of creation is uniquely centered on this earth. And then some additional thoughts from Ron Rhodes. And I want to, his book, yeah, I want to mention the book, 5 Minutes Apologetics. In his article, Intelligent Life on Other Planets, he says, The Bible offers good reasons to doubt that intelligent life exists on other planets. Scripture points to the absolute centrality of the earth and gives us no hint that life exists elsewhere. Admittedly, the earth is but an astronomical atom among the whirling constellations, only a tiny speck of dust among the oceans, the ocean of stars and planets in the universe. But the earth is nevertheless the center of God's work of salvation in the universe. On the earth, God presents himself in solemn covenants and divine appearances. On it, the Son of God became man. On it stood the cross of the Redeemer of the world. And on it, though indeed on the new earth, yet still on the earth, the throne of God and the Lamb will rest. That's from Revelation 21:1-2 and 22:3. He goes on to say, The centrality of the earth is also evident in the creation account, for God created the earth before he created the rest of the planets and stars. Genesis 1. The rest of the universe exists simply as a testimony of God's greatness. Psalm 19:1-4. Adam's sin seems to have affected the entire universe. How then could unfallen creatures live on another planet? And I think that's also some very good information. Now, another article that was in the Creation magazine, Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham's magazine, but it was an article actually written by Professor Werner Gitt. And this article is titled God and the Extraterrestrials. And the comments here, so what about UFOs? I think this is very good, very pertinent. And he says, okay, the article from a German magazine, Focus, says, the article quoted sociologist Gerald Eberlein as saying, research has shown that people who are not affiliated with any church but who claim that they are religious are particularly susceptible to the possible existence of extraterrestrials. For them, ufology is a substitute religion. And that's what we're talking here, folks, deception in the last days. He goes on to say the Bible goes somewhat deeper in this matter, identifying a supplementary cause and effect, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11. And I mentioned that earlier, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. He goes on to say, you know, there is another reality, you know, besides, you know, God and man, and that is of the devil and the demons. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 2, talks about the prince of the power of the air whose reign is on the earth. All right. Now, I found an article recently on the website Study, Grow, and Know, and this article is entitled Growing ET and ETI Awareness. I will not be sharing much from this article. I will be using this in a future study that I do on UFOs. I'm not sure exactly when I'll get around to that, but I will definitely be doing some stuff on UFOs in the future. But I want to quote something here from him. It says, a question was posed and responded to regarding a possible option for the world as it moved closer to doomsday. By the way, this man goes by the term, by the name Modres, M-O-D-R-E-S, so I can't give him any other credit for his name because that's all I have to go with. But anyway, moving on, a question was posed and responded to regarding a possible option for the world as it moved closer to doomsday. Among other things, it was stated that it is a great possibility that the coming rapture of the church, Christ's bride, of course, not Christendom at large, would throw the world into such chaos and dishevelment that a one-world system of governance would likely happen that much quicker because of it. I also referred to the beliefs held within aspects of the New Age movement, which tend toward ETism, the belief that outside our world, living in other dimensions, which is why we cannot see them unless they want to be seen, are extraterrestrial beings, ETs, who have been watching over the Earth for millennia, attempting to do what they can to keep the world from destruction through the use of nuclear armaments and worse. While mainstream society might tend to shrug the belief in ETs off as being conspiratorial, or the made-up ramblings of the lunatic fringe, it is interesting to note how many individuals with great intelligence and learning also count themselves among those who accept what they believe is the reality of ETs, beings from outer space, and other forms of higher life. I actually did an interview on UFOs, and actually two interviews, one with a non-Christian gentleman and the other with some Christian folks, and the Christian folks really took it more of a lunatic fringe thing, I think, conspiratorial. I really didn't take it very serious. I take it quite serious, and I think there's a lot to it, and that you always have to keep your eye on it. But anyway, I want to not run out of time, so I want to move on to another article, gotquestions.org site. Again, there's the name of the author is not present for me to give him credit. Could an alien deception be part of the end times is the question. Answer. We know that the events surrounding the end times, as described in the Bible, will include a powerful deception. Matthew 24, 4. Recently, interest has, and by the way, I've got time to quote that, I think. Jesus the disciples were asking him what the future was going to hold in Matthew 24:4. And before he said anything about earthquakes and diverse places and wars and rumors and wars, he said, "Beware lest any man deceive you." He was basically telling us that there was going to be a great deception in the last days. That was going to characterize the last days. Powerful deception. Recently, it says interest has been rising in the theory that this deception will include alien beings from another planet. Odd as it may seem, this theory is entirely plausible from a Christian perspective. Although the Bible gives us no word about whether or not aliens exist, there is no inclusion of them in the creation account in Genesis, and no mention of them elsewhere. The Bible does tell us about visitors from another world, the spiritual world. Let's see. It says, could the end times include a similar alien deception? The Bible doesn't directly address the issue, but it is certainly plausible for a variety of reasons. First, the Bible tells us that the world will unite under the power of the Antichrist. In order to achieve an agreement between all the world's religions, it would make sense for the uniter to come from an entirely new source, an extraterrestrial source. It is hard to imagine one religion becoming head of all the others unless new, unearthly knowledge were the source of the appeal and power of the new religion. This would be in keeping with past deceptions and would be a very effective way to deceive a large number of people. And I just think those are very, very, very pertinent thoughts, powerful thoughts, actually. I concur with what this man is saying. And, you know, when you when you look at the times we're living in, and, of course, the New Age spirituality that's been with us for some time, you see that there's always been, of course, in the New Age movement, this desire to have a one-world type religion. It's just part of the New Age, of coming into a New Age, a millennial reign, or not a millennial reign, but a millennium, which, again, is the buzzword, the redefinition for the millennium of the Bible is like a New Age among occultists and a lot of the ET folks. So, having said all that, there's an article I found in a New Age magazine called Branches in the Indianapolis area that I picked up recently. And this is just your typical, really, a typical New Age view that you'll find that I've found time and time again. I've been to many New Age conferences, many UFO conferences, read many New Age magazines, etc., books. And you see this often. This is typical and pretty common, but this is also pretty recent. I think this was around December when I got this, or this was a December issue. So let me read some of this to you just to show you where so many people's thoughts, of course, this is from a New Age, a hardcore New Age perspective, perhaps, but you see the world more and more, I think, being conduced, or being, you know, led to believe, or wanting to people in this world to believe and to think about these type of ideas. Anyway, On the Threshold of Personal Transformation is the title of this article by Ted Nottingham. It says, this 21st century is bringing the human family together as never before. One of the elements that could make or break humanity's opportunities for evolution or for survival is the gatekeeper of spirituality, religion. Will it unify us or split us further apart? There are plenty of spiritual groups in the world, but most of them identify themselves by the motto, I'm in the group and you're not. Religion, which means relinking with our divine source, at least that's his definition of religion. Mine would be more like Cain and Abel, and Cain going his own way and doing it his way, and Abel following God's plan. But anyway, he says religion, which means relinking with our divine source in this millennium, must either bring us together or become obsolete. Just a second. I was distracted. Yes, the answer to this problem is not another round of interfaith dialogue among representatives sitting in an ivory tower. What is needed is a widespread recognition of the common ground that unites all true experiences of the sacred. At the heart of nearly every spiritual teaching, from Christian-centering prayer, note that Christian-centering prayer, that which is so popular with the emerging church and the contemplative prayer, contemplative spirituality movement that's infesting so much of even the evangelical church. from the Christian Centering Prayer and Hesychia, or Inner Tranquility, to the Sufi Zikr, Remembrance of God. I don't know about these pronunciations, folks, sorry, to Buddhist Mindfulness, which you've probably heard of that before, and Hindu Advaita, or Non-Duality. There are the same elements of self-knowledge, inner struggle, inner silence, and inner transformation toward compassion and loving kindness. Call it Brahma, Allah, Nirvana, the God of Abraham, or the Christ. There is a divine presence that, when encountered, may alter the fabric of our times, of our lives. Evidence of this can be clearly witnessed in every century. And then under the heading of No Prejudice, No Dogmas, it says, in this day and age, we are working to discard the rationalism of an arrogant, male-driven 19th century and are entering into a new appreciation of intuitive awareness, sensing the invisible in the visible, recognizing the sacred in the ordinary, and discovering the oneness of humanity is possible for us on an unprecedented scale. Now that every corner of the globe can be seen at the switch of a channel or the tap of a keyboard, we face a horizon beyond the boundaries of the past. We know in our bones that with a little responsibility, starving children can be fed in all parts of the world. We know that we are so connected that if the ship goes down, we all go down. In such a world, there is no more room for the antiquated prejudice and dogmas that were shaped in the narrow confines of another age. Certainly there are good things to inherit from the past, but everything must be measured against the most holistic and universal spiritual criteria we can perceive in our time. Such a viable spirituality for this millennium might be described in the following way. Enlightenment must lead to unification. Intolerance of any kind is unacceptable. Cultural diversity must be fully embraced. True leaders must radiate compassion and self-transcendence. Scripture can be considered divinely inspired only if it genuinely reflects unconditional love. No judgment, I suppose. Ritual is valuable insofar as it enables authentic inner experience, not merely because it has always been done that way. The truth of different paths converge at the deepest level of our being, and then all of life is seen as a sacrament of the mystery that generates existence. These fundamentals provide us with a compass for a spirituality founded on universal truth. Okay, and then final comments from this article, and you see where he's going with this. He hasn't mentioned UFOs, of course, or ET, but anyway, it says a mentality that will take us back to the Scopes monkey trial about evolution, of the first decades of the last century is an acronym in this age and can no longer be tolerated as an acceptable argument. Spirituality and religion are particularly concerned with reality, and when science tells us that reality is more multidimensional than our senses reveal, then we are beginning to find common ground. Until recently, this deeper understanding that united the two fields was hidden in the world of esotericism and metaphysics, a subculture rejected by both mainstream religion and science. Modern developments are erasing that difference, and we are finding physicists with faith and clergy delving into the latest scientific discoveries. I am out of time. I just commented, all we need now is a space brother to step out of an alien craft and say we're all one, and can't we all just get along? Anyway, I have a couple of online talks that I've done. One you can find at the Discern 05. You can Google Discern 05 and find my UFO Vehicles into the New Age or Satan's Crash and Burn message. And then topic UFO was an interview that I did. It's UFO and the ufology and the Christian point of view. That's topic UFO. You can Google both of those if you'd like to get those. I'm sorry I've run over time now. We'll be back next week. God bless you. Keep looking up. Our Lord is coming soon.